6 years ago, I was sitting in a small carrel in the lecture reading room of the Susilo Library at the University of Washington. And I pulled out a small copy of The Little Flowers of St. Francis that a friend of mine had given to me. And I began to read it. And the stories are legendary stories collected not long after the death of Francis in the 13th century. And as I read those stories, aware clearly of their legendary quality, what shone through them so unmistakably was love. Love shone through the life of Francis in those stories. And as I read them, I felt myself being drawn deeper and deeper and deeper into the presence of that love. And I said out loud, I'm going to be a minister. Because I felt that love and I said, whatever that is, I want to serve that. I want to serve that love that is speaking to me so powerfully. And I want you all to know that I don't believe I would have really answered that call, that vocation, had I not come to serve you and serve our three parishes and do the work of these last 13 years and enjoy the extraordinary privilege and honor of speaking to you week after week about the love of God. It has been the great joy of my life to be with you, and it is hard for me to believe that this is the last time, at least in the foreseeable future, that I will stand before you and have this privilege. And I would also, Bishop Burkhardt, I would love very much to welcome you here. I often am aware that your position as bishop takes you to all corners of the diocese, and that oftentimes you're sort of asked to put out fires and negotiate conflict. And yeah, I heard it happen one time. And it is a tremendous pleasure to be able to invite you here and to invite you to share the joy that is flowing through these congregations. We're not perfect, because nothing is in this life, but we are congregations of love and commitment to God and to each other, and thank you for being here with us on this day. And
I've been thinking about this day for quite a while now. It's sort of been looming, and it was with real pleasure that I saw the lessons for today. Because the way the lesson from Paul's letter to the Romans ends is one of the, I think, it is the central, one of the central truths of our tradition. He ends, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not life, not death, not rulers, powers, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And of course, I'm saying things that I've said in a number of ways and a number of different times, and so now I get a chance to say them yet again. This truth that Paul is talking about, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God made known in Christ Jesus, it has two aspects. And the first is that we can do nothing as human beings to cause God to stop loving us. We can do nothing to cause God to stop loving us. And this is a kind of generosity of God that Jesus was insistent about, and it got Jesus in some trouble. When Jesus said, you know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike, and the sun rises on the unjust and the just alike, a lot of people didn't like that kind of generous God, the God of such generosity that he would even work for the well-being of those who were indifferent or callous or afraid or aggressive. But that's one aspect of this great truth. God loves all of creation. God is present in all of creation.
And in that wonderful image of generosity, God is like the sun that shines on us all, or the rain that falls on us all. And there is nothing we can do to interrupt that. We can be responsive or not to it, but there's nothing that we can do to stop God's generous working within us and all around us. So that's one aspect. The second aspect, I think, is maybe even more important, although how can it be more important than God's love for us? The second aspect is that there is no circumstance in our own lives that can force us to stop loving. That the possibility that's being held before us today in this condensed teaching, how nothing can separate us from the love of God, it means that we are capable of loving in every conceivable circumstance. And I'm going to return to something that I think was really quite important in the lives of all three of our parishes, and certainly in the life of my own. And it goes back to 1990, actually. It was another moment when something occurred and I saw something and I said, what is going on with this man? I want what he has. And it was the day that Nelson Mandela was released from prison after 27 years of unjust imprisonment. And his face was shining. His face shone. And I go, how in the world, how has he survived 27 years of injustice, cruelty, violence, degradation? How does the human heart survive that? And not just survive, but flourish. And so you start looking into the story of Nelson Mandela, and you start hearing him talk about the way he was with his jailers. And he says, every day, I made it my practice to see the good in them. To see the good in those who hated me. And he did that for 27 years. And he saw the good. And you know, it's that, I would say, there's a borrowing from a different tradition. There is that wonderful word, namaste, that says, the presence of God within me recognizes and honors the presence of God in you. And of course, that often occurs when the other does not yet recognize it. How many times did Jesus love those who could not really receive it or didn't even understand it? But Mandela spent his time in prison perceiving the good in those who hated him until they began to perceive the good in themselves, and their hearts opened, and they both recognized Mandela and they recognized themselves, and in that process they became human. They became authentically human. Their hearts were opened. Their hearts were softened, like in those wonderful words of Ezekiel, I will take from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And so Mandela came out of prison, 27 years of imprisonment, and his face shone because he had practiced the central discipline of all of our lives. He loved those around him. And it's funny, when I say that it is possible for us to love in every conceivable situation, I learned a lot about that from Mandela. And the way I started thinking about it first was really around the notion of forgiveness. He forgave his jailers. He forgave those who imprisoned him. And when he was released from prison and became president, he forgave those who were in power. And just, I put before you, I know I've mentioned this before, but of all places, ESPN created a document, or a documentary. It's in their 30 for 30 series, and it's called The 16th Man. And you will learn much more about rugby than you ever thought possibly know in this, but it is the single best depiction of the power of Nelson Mandela that I've ever seen. And not only rugby players, but people in the government that later formed hardened. You can see that sort of vestige of cruelty in some of these men's faces. You know, in the hard polarization of South Africa as apartheid, you can see the vestige of cruelty in their faces, and they spoke with humble wonder at the way their own lives had been changed by the love that they had experienced from him, and the utterly surprising gestures of reconciliation and inclusion. And I thought of, so in my first experience with Mandela, I thought of it in terms of forgiveness, but then I realized quite quickly that forgiveness is often a very confusing word, because it's so much concerned with, has the other person asked for forgiveness? Do they deserve it? How is forgiveness to be related to justice? Are you letting them off the hook? All these questions that somehow are borrowed from the courtroom. And I realized that forgiveness, I think, is best understood simply as love. When you are in a situation where forgiveness is called for, what has occurred is some kind of injury. Something has disrupted that process of love between people. And the task of forgiveness is really quite simple. How do I find my way into an opening of my heart so that I can love this person again? And in our human confusion, we often translate that, you should love that person, into a moral obligation where we'll be punished if we don't. And that misunderstands our situation absolutely. Would Nelson Mandela have been punished if he did not love his jailers? And in one profound sense, yes. And he knew it. He said, unless I let go of my bitterness and hatred, I will be in prison forever. God puts before us the possibility of loving in every circumstance, not as an obligation, yet another obligation to be dumped upon us, which upon failing we will then suffer subsequent punishment. No, God puts that possibility before us so that in the life of Nelson Mandela, he can survive and his soul can flourish and blossom even in his imprisonment. It is the path of his liberation. I get to love these people. And in so doing, I am set free from the injuries that they have imposed upon me. And it's the only way we're set free. It is the only way we are set free. We find our way to love those in our lives. And if we don't, I mean, check it out for yourselves, as I've said so often. How does it feel to harbor anger or resentment or bitterness in your heart? This is the punishment. The punishment, I mean, it's that, like that old saw, not to forgive is like drinking poison and expecting the other to die. So, the presence of God is in all of us. I mean, that's one of my sort of ditch to die in theological stances, is that God is in every part of creation. And I really, the words that I want to leave with is listen. Listen to the promptings of love. Listen to the promptings of love in your own heart. And love will show you a path. It might show you a path of how to live with an illness with greater equanimity, or how to deal with a family member with whom you are estranged, or a co-worker. In any possible situation, love is the path that brings our souls to life and allows God a space in our hearts to flourish and helps us recognize God's presence everywhere. So listen, I want us to listen to the promptings of God in our own heart. And the word is, it's kind of a funny one. The word really is obey. Obey the promptings of love. And obey comes from the Latin to hear. And we, again, it's one of those words that can make you kind of cringe and go, ah, because obey is almost always associated with compliance to some external authority. But this is not. This is listening to what is arising from within your own heart and actually having the courage to follow it. And it is often courage that is needed, because love will take us into places of encounter that we might otherwise have wanted to avoid. And we avoid them to our own destruction. Listen to the promptings of love in your own hearts. Follow where they lead. And when we go out of this room where we gather week after week to ponder, to pray, and to give thanks, know that we walk out to do as Jesus did, to see the activity of God everywhere, not just in authorized places. You know, Jesus got in a lot of trouble too, because he was always recognizing the activity of God among those who should not be so graced with God, who were operating outside normal religious channels. And the religious authorities of his day said, wait a minute, we know where God is active. And Jesus said, no, you don't. If you miss that, and if you miss that, and if you miss that, you don't really know where God is active. And then when the eyes of our hearts are open, we begin to see God active everywhere. And then, as our gospel spoke of today, the kingdom of God truly comes into being. But it starts in such small ways. It starts in the conversation of two people or your own individual pondering. And it always begins with the whispering of love, which is to be followed all the way. It's the only way. It's the only way. So I will now put down my glass of water, and I will put down my glasses, and I will again say thank you from the bottom of my heart for your generosity and your persistence and your capacity for love and your good humor, and all the people that do so much work here to make these congregations healthy, flourishing places. And may God's blessing arise within each one of our hearts and come to glorious